Hello everybody, I hope you're all doing well. This is the podcast Living Out Loud, LOL, and I'm your host, Cheche Oyando, also known as The Locked Doc, or Cheyenne, if you like. And in this podcast, we discuss all things lifestyle. So yeah, grab your coffee or whatever you drink, and let's get right into it. Hi guys, I hope you're doing well. I know, so soon another episode. But I want to talk about something that has been weighing on my mind. And I had actually recorded an episode about this about 2 weeks ago. Sorry guys, it's so loud. But there's nothing I can do about it, to be honest. So I had recorded an episode about this 2 weeks ago, but I didn't feel like I had brought out the point well as I wanted to, so I'm gonna try again. But yeah, I hope you guys have been well since the last episode. I got good feedback actually so far. I just put it out yesterday, so far I've gotten really good feedback. Yeah, lots of people telling me that they learned a lot. It really resonated with them. And so I'm really happy about that. You guys keep encouraging me to keep doing this, and I'm grateful. Thank you, guys. So today's affirmation / quote, actually it's a quote, it's not an affirmation. And it's in line with the topic I'd like to discuss. It says, with great power comes great responsibility. And this is Uncle Ben told Peter Parker, also known as Spider-Man. And it basically means that if you have the ability to do something, do it for the good of others. So this is in line with, like, if you're in a position of leadership, yeah, like church or politics, or at your place of work, in school, so if you have the ability that, or if you've been tasked with something to do, do it for the good of others as well. So today's topic, it's about the church, and it's about why I left the church. Guys, it's so loud. I'm really sorry about that. Should I just record later? Because that noise is really pissing me off. Anyway, so if oh wow, I didn't know that this was a setting. So when I make a mistake, I can just click add flag so that it makes the editing easier. Wow, why am I just learning this now? I spend so much time trying to edit. Okay, sorry, I was just fascinating. That was fascinating. If you live in Kenya and you know that the church has been headlining for all the wrong reasons of late, and I'll get into it. So, and I don't even think it's just in Kenya, like it's a worldwide issue, like the meaning of Christianity, because that's what I was brought up, so that's what I know. So I feel like it has changed so much, and it has, every day we start further away from the true meaning of it. For those who are not aware of what's happening in this country, basically there was a pastor who was leading a cult, and he was doing it in the name of God, in quotes, And he basically was telling his followers, first of all, I don't know. I have a problem with even saying like followers, like to a pastor. I don't know. Because you're just human like me. I mean, but yeah, I guess you're in a position of leadership, so we're following you. So he was telling his followers to fast for extended periods of time. Like literally no food, nothing, like not that one where you wake up in the morning, you eat, then ufunge until a certain time, then you eat after that. Like they were not eating anything, and they were being told that like God is pleased with you and you're going to go to heaven, and yeah, basically a whole lot of BS, to be honest. So many people died as a result of that. I think yesterday when I watched the news, I think the bodies that have been exhumed, because he was like, these people were dying and he was just burying them underground, like just like that. It's not funny. Guys, it's not funny. I'm sorry for laughing. But yeah, he was just like burying them underground. So they've exhumed, I think, 235 bodies so far. And there are still many people apparently in the forest. Many people are looking for their kin, their children, wives, husbands. And the crazy thing about all this, okay, I'll get to that. Let me just finish with the backstory. So many people's kin have disappeared, and when this story came out, everyone was now, like, those who are, like, suspecting, like, things like this were going on or had, yeah, because many of them didn't exactly know where their kin was going. Like, there was this one interview where this husband said that his wife said that she was going to the shop. She went with the child, and 3 hours later, she still hadn't come back. She had left her phone, her ID. She had left all her belongings. And she went to the place where all this was happening. And yeah, so he's basically still looking for her and their child. Yeah, and the lady's sister also had gone there. She worked abroad and then she came into the country. She found that her son, who was staying with her parents, had passed away as a result of all this. And yeah, so basically that's just what has been happening around, and it's been weighing on my mind, and I wanted to talk about this and seek like, you guys can tell me your views on all this. But yeah, it just made me think about, like, how sometimes we are brainwashed to think a certain way or to believe something, but we have the ability and the power to as well take whatever information you're being given and utilize it as you want, and like think through it before making such going to such extremities. So part of this story is the pastor was not fasting. The people in those positions of leadership, they were telling their families to fast and to like to come join the church and all that, but themselves they were not taking part in it. So like, are you getting where I'm coming from? Like, this, like, the level of being brainwashed to the point where you can't think and be like, okay, the pastor is not doing this. And I'm not even like trying to blame the victims. It's very sad what has happened. I don't take that away from them. I don't dispute that. But I'm just trying to like educate, and yeah, I'm trying to understand, like, to see how this can be avoided again in the future. And it's something that I've thought about for a long time. Like, I'd go to church and the pastor would preach about something that I don't agree with. Oh yeah, I don't go to church anymore, by the way. But yeah, when I would go to church, the pastor would preach about something I don't agree with. And I don't change my belief system based on what... I don't take what he has said as what it is. Because I'll go do my research on it and weigh it against what I already believe something to be, and then come up with a decision on how I should apply it in my life. So for example, something like fasting. I really admire Islam, because when you're fasting, you're all fasting. You get, like, the leaders are fasting, like every single person is fasting. You're not there's no hierarchy for fasting, you get. But you see, in like some churches, for example, like this incident that has happened, they'll make it seem like the pastor, for lack of a better word, the pastor is superior to all of you, and the leaders, the elders, or whatever they call it, are superior to all of you. So whatever they say, you have to do. And even if they are not doing it, like they weren't fasting, you have to do it. Like, you don't even question, like, I don't know. But I don't know. It's odd to me that like you see, like you can see this man is still walking around. In fact, he's probably even adding more weight. He's even eating more than you are. Already he's probably told you to sell everything that you have. All these worldly things are bad, and maybe you've even given all your money to this church, so you're just their vibes, like just waiting to die. But he's just getting richer. He's eating your money. He's enjoying your land or whatever benefits that you've decided to give to him. Like, he's just getting richer, fatter. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. It's infuriating. It's infuriating because, first of all, as a church leader, as I said, with great power comes great responsibility. So you are responsible for so many people who probably are looking up to you and seeking guidance from you. A lot of people probably... if I look at it maybe from a psychology point of view, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm just trying to understand it. Many people go to such extremes when they are seeking a lot of hope, and that's the only place that they can find it. So why take advantage of people like that? You know, like this person has come to you because they are trying to find... you don't know what this person is going through, and they've come to you to find even the littlest hope in life, and then you're taking it to, and then like you've, I don't know, but I hope you guys are understanding what I'm saying. Like, you're taking advantage basically of this probably innocent person who is probably going through so much in life, and I don't know, it's sad. And you, as I said, as a person who is in power, you have the ability to make sure that whatever you're doing is helping, and it's for the good of others who are probably looking up at you. For example, our president, or a president of a country. What I don't want to use this country as an example. Okay, I'll just say it. Like, let's say in this country, we all know what's happening. Like, the taxes are high, but the salaries are the same. There are no job opportunities and all that. And as a leader, you should ensure that your people have at least the basic needs or can afford the basic needs by creating opportunities for them to afford these basic needs. Like, that is your responsibility because you have the power to do so. So if you're not taking care of these people who are looking to you for help or to make the situation better, then you failed. Honestly, you failed. So yeah, so anyway, back to Naomi, why I left the church. I have several reasons why I left the church. So backstory, I was brought up in the church. My whole family is very much into the church. Very, very much into the church. Like, I think everyone is in a position of leadership in the church. Yeah, actually everyone. Or does something in the church. And yeah, that's how I grew up. I didn't know anything else. And there's a point where I also joined church leadership. When I was in the teens church, I had a position in the teens church. And then I joined the worship team of the teens church, and then eventually the worship team of the whole church, basically. And I would lead worship. So, I remember, like, even when I was younger, like, I think early teenage years, I really would judge people who don't go to church, or even worse, people who don't go to my church. Yeah. And this is because I feel like we were being brainwashed to believe that, one, Christianity is the superior religion. Like, if you're not Christian, what are you doing with your life? But not even only that, because I guess everyone believes that about their belief system. But for us, we were even being conditioned to think that our, what are these things called? Subgroups? Are they called sub? Sorry, guys, I know it's so loud, but I hope you can hear me. I'm trying to make sense here. Our subgroup, there are Protestants and then there's the Catholic Church. So within the Protestants, there are so many subgroups. So we are being led to believe that our subgroup is among the superior subgroups. And I was born into a Presbyterian family. Let me see. Is it? Well, that's the word.
Denomination. Denomination is the word. So our denomination was Presbyterian.
So they would say that Presbyterians, Anglicans, and what's the other one? There are three that they would say, like, we are the elite group of Christians. Like, all those other ones are a mess. They have no order. They've taken everything out of context. Yeah, so basically that's what they were trying to make us believe, which is insane, actually. So I would judge, like, what are you doing not coming to my church? Why? Yeah. And this would be seen a lot, like, even with how I'd relate with people in now my school. I didn't go to a Christian school, but there are many people in my class, or even in the school, were it was a predominantly Christian community in that school, but it was not a Christian school. So I would be like what do you mean? Like, why do you go to such a church? Why can't you just come to my church? We have so much order. You see, like, the level of being brainwashed that was being done, like, when we were already so young. You get, like, I would think Christianity teaches about unity, togetherness, love everybody and things like that. Don't judge, don't, yeah. But the preachings are far from that. Or not even only the preachings, like the way of life of a lot of Christians is far from that. I mean, you should be able to walk into any church and just go and pray, listen to what is being said. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know. And that's also why I admire Catholicism. Because, like, you... And also Islam. Like, you can go to any mosque, you can go to any Catholic church, and it will just be the same thing, you get. But with a lot of Protestant churches, there's a lot of... preaching about the other church is bad, like, don't go there, I don't know, but it's also become very political, very yeah, it's become a business, so they're probably just trying to make money from us by keeping as many of us there. And oh yeah, something that I should say about that point where when you're telling, and this is just in life general, I don't think that you should ever put out your point by putting somebody else down. For example, if our church is so good and it's a great church, I don't think you have to prove it by telling us, like, the other, like, don't use an don't put another church down to try and make yours look better. Like, let it speak for itself, you know. And this happens a lot with a lot of situations in churches. As I said, I'm predominantly talking about Christianity because that is what I've known for most of my life. So, and this is probably like the situation that also happened in that place, that that pastor, like, he was probably putting down other churches or belief systems to get as many people to follow him. Yeah, which is just wrong. Like, that's just BS. Yeah, so that was one thing I noticed very early on. Like, a lot of the time I would find myself judging people who don't come to my church, or people who or people who don't go to churches that are similar to my church. Yeah. And then later on, I moved to another town for where my first university is. So that town is so far from where our home church. I keep saying our, but I'm not part of that church anymore. But I hope you guys get it. When I say our home church, you get what I'm saying. So so of course I couldn't be commuting every weekend to come to church. So oh yeah, I should mention that the university, the first university I joined, is a Christian university. So so we'd have like a Monday service and then a Thursday service before classes. In fact, classes would start an hour later on Mondays and Thursdays to so that people can attend the services, right? And then every evening we had evening prayers, and I would lead those evening prayers a lot of the time. like even listening to myself talk about this is like, who was she? Who was that? Anyway, so yeah, so we I'm disoriented. Oh yeah, so we would have those services. And I even remember when I first joined that university, it was in the first semester, my classmates were going out in that town, and they were asking me to come with them, and I was like, nope, I'm not going. I have a kesha to attend. Who was she? Who was she? And they were like, okay, cool. So they went, and then I think they came back at like 2 a.m. or something. And I was like, yeah, guys, just come to church. Like, even if you've gone out and you've drunk, God doesn't mind, God doesn't judge, just come. And yeah, as much as we believe God doesn't judge, but the church, like the people in the church, judge, okay? They judge badly, actually, like terribly.
And that's something that I'll probably talk about in part two. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons that I found the people of the church so strange is that like you would want people to extend so much grace and understanding towards you, but when it comes to somebody else who is going through a situation, what you'll do is you'll gossip, you'll judge, you'll criticize them. What the Bible teaches is about don't judge. Let he who lives without sin through the first be the first to cast a stone. Yet you're here looking at the speck in somebody else's eye. Well, you have a whole log in your eye, you know. Yeah, so I found that so strange. Like somebody will be going through something and they've come to the church for hope, but you are there judging their situation and putting them down, and that is actually that discourages somebody from even attempting to come back to the church again. Yeah, but I'll talk about that more in part two.
So yeah, anyway, that's basically how it was. I don't even know where I was just giving you a backstory, I guess, of how I ended up in this other town and how my spiritual journey in this town was going. So I should also mention that I had very extremes when it came to my life. So I would either be very much into the church or very much into things of the world, as they would say. So I should mention that I feel like when I was going through that church phase, I was a more toxic person than when I was in this worldly phase. I don't know what to call it, but but yeah, I hope you understand what I'm saying. So I would really like my life, like I would fluctuate between these two extremes. So when I'm into church, I am really into church, and then when I am on this other side, I'm really into that. So there's this one time I was now on the other side, and I decided, I'm not gonna do this anymore, I'm going back to church. And this is around the time where my classmates had found a church outside our school church, and it was nice. The first time I went there was an event, I think it was called Church in the Park or something like that. It was an outdoor event. It was really nice. The pastor seemed good. The preaching was good. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll keep coming here. Like, I'll change. And yeah, I did. So I think for the first like 1 month or 2 months, I was just a member of the congregation. And then I decided to join another worship team. So it was going really well. I felt like I was growing in my worship. I was growing as a person, and yeah. So I believed. And then there's a time now, it got to a point where, okay, they brought somebody in, a man, a new man, to lead the worship team, like to be our worship team leader. And I remember when he came, like, yeah, he's a very good looking man, I will never take that away from him. And he sings well, he's well knowledgeable with music and all that. Yeah, it was good to work with him. It was very easy working with him. But then things got complicated when, first of all, I don't know, I think like, anyway, yeah, things got complicated because we were spending so much time together. Let me tell you guys, I was in that church like 70% of the week we were in church. Like out of the 7 days, maybe like 4 days or 5 days we were in church. There were prayers, there was practice, there was just a lot. There was now church service, there was events, there was meetings. Yeah, so we were in church a lot. So I would spend a lot of time with this guy, and I feel like that's what, like, because now we would sing together in church and all this, and people would be like, yeah, you guys are so cute, you guys should just date. Hey, okay, sorry, I've just gotten a message and I feel like this person just doesn't understand me. No, I'll reply to that later. So I think that pressure like made us be like, okay, yeah, why not? We could like try have something, you know? And we tried. We weren't like officially together, but we were getting there. And then it got really, really weird for us because the pastor would talk to, like, the pastor was really forcing us to be together. So he would even give this guy money to take me out on dates. Like, they were like, yeah, you guys. Guys, it was an arranged marriage. And I, like, my parents weren't even involved in it. Amma? Anyway, so that got weird for me because I was like why are they forcing us to be together? Like, and later on I realized like, yeah, we're not compatible. Like, we're better off as just like worship team colleagues. That's fine. So that ended, and then I started seeing somebody else who I was with for a very long time, many years. And this man joined the church that we were going to. And he really liked it. This somebody who wasn't going to church before, and now they've come, they've seen the church, they like the church, so they've decided they'll be coming every Sunday. Cool. So I think the pastor was not happy that it didn't work out with the worship team leader. So I was being called for meetings. Guys, meetings in church to talk about how they don't approve of my relationship. I didn't ask you. I didn't ask for your approval. About how I should have just stayed with this other guy. He's nice. He's very much into the church. Guys, like, are you seeing this? Are you seeing how much they're trying to control you? Hey, man. Yeah, so it got too much for me. And I remember there was even one time, like, I had led praise and worship that Sunday. And after church, the pastor called me. I was even on a date with now my boyfriend at the time. I was on a date with him, and the pastor called, and he's like, oh, I wanted to talk to you about today's worship. I'm like, okay. And he was like, yeah, I don't feel your worship anymore. I feel like your relationship is coming in between your worship. Like, they were literally trying to look for any reason to make my relationship out to be bad. Yeah. When you are with this guy, like, you are more intentional with your worship. And let me tell you guys, like, it really hurt me because, first of all, I'm not doing it for you, sir. And I told him that. I said, I'm not doing it for you. Like, And I really felt like my worship that day was so genuine. Like, I poured my whole heart out on that stage. Like, I felt like a connection. Like, I was touching. I'm going to start preaching. Anyway, just know, like, I really felt like I had poured my heart out and everything that day. But yeah, so he told me that. And I was like, I'm not doing it for you. Like, of course, this just has to do with the fact that I'm no longer dating. That's a strong word. I'm no longer seeing the person who you want me to be with. Yeah. And yeah, so he told me that. And I was like, what the heck? Anyway, I let it go. So, weeks later, the prison worship coordinator, this guy that I was seeing, called me for a meeting in church. And he's like, yeah, you know, the pastor is saying that ever since you got into your relationship, you are not as active or as I don't like, they were just, he was just telling me whatever the pastor had told me, like, my worship is not as genuine, so he said. But when I spoke to other people about it, like other people, not even my friends in the church, like other people in leadership in that church, they were like, I feel like you've even grown in your worship, like things are better. Anyway, so yeah, so that was happening. And then it got worse. So during that meeting with that guy in the worship team, I remember I told him, I was like, oh yeah, by the way, from now on, I won't be as active in the worship team. Like, maybe I can sing like background singing, because I don't think I'll be making practices, because we have exams coming up and I really want to like read and focus on that. And he was like, okay, fine. Yeah, cool. No problem. That's fine. Thank you for telling me. And yeah. So I took a break. Like, I would attend practices when I could, which was very rare. But yeah, but you can guess what they did. Again, they were saying now, oh yeah, she's not coming for church events or practices because she's with her boyfriend. Okay, fine. Maybe I was with him. Cool. But what was she doing? Like, anyway, so like now looking back, I'm just like, what the heck? And I remember being so hurt back then, but I'm so happy I can laugh about it now. Some people are just weird in this life. Anyway, so they would tell me like, yeah, you're not coming for practices, you're not attending. I would attend church, like I never missed church ever. But I just wouldn't be available for practices, yeah. And they were like trying to even tell me like, you know, this guy is leaving soon and you're the one who's taking up the worship team. I'm like, first of all, you didn't even consult me about this. Like, why are you giving me a position? Like you're giving me responsibility that I haven't even approved to. Like, you see, like, that's why your expectations are just, like, you're getting disappointed because you have an expectation that I haven't even committed to, you know. Anyway, so, now I remember it was, like, the weekend before. We were starting our exams on Monday, so it was on Saturday. I had gone for a road trip on Saturday, like, just to, like, take a breather for a bit. Like, it wasn't even long. Like, I think it was, like, 2 hours. Does that qualify as a road trip? Anyway, we had gone somewhere, like, just for, like, we drove for, like, 2 hours, ate lunch, and then came back. So, as we were on our way there, my friends, because we were, several of us would attend that church, so my friend calls me and she's like, hi, how come you're not at the meeting at the pastor's house? And I was like, what meeting? And she's like, yeah, like we were called for a prison worship meeting. Let me tell you guys, the irony is this girl who was calling me was not even in the worship team. She was in Sunday school ministry. So I was like, okay, that's weird. I haven't been told about any meeting. Yeah, she's like, yeah, we're all here. And It was even weirder when she said we're all here, because when she listed me, when she told me who was there, literally three of those people are part of the worship team. Actually, two, because I was the third person. Oh, yeah, there was now another girl who wasn't part, who wasn't in our school, but she was part of the worship team as well. So three people, yeah, were part of the worship team. The others were part of Sunday school, catering, what else? What were the other ministries? Anyway, yeah, security. But yeah, they were called for a meeting at the pastor's house. So I was like, okay, this is odd. So I think the pastor and that guy of the worship team had her calling me. So he calls me immediately after she's called me. So he calls me and he's like, oh, Cheyenne, I forgot to tell you that we had a meeting for the worship team today. I was like, you didn't forget. Like, you never forget to tell me about any meetings. All these meetings when you are calling me by myself to tell me about my relationship, you never forgot. So this is the time that you've decided. You've remembered people in Sunday school ministry, or now they are part of the worship team. Cool. I said I'm not coming because that's an afterthought. That's weird. So they had their meeting. They left the pastor's house very late, actually. And then now the girl who wasn't part of our school texts me in the evening. She's like, hey, so I figured out why they didn't want you to come for the meeting today. And I was like, oh, really? Why? Oh, by the way, I've missed her. I should really look for her. I've missed her a lot. I should look for her. And I was like, oh, really? Why? She's like, yeah, that whole meeting was about you. I said, wow, I must have so much power. I must be the devil from Gatondo. And this is my sign. If you guys don't know that reference, if you're Kenyan and you don't know that reference, please, please denounce your citizenship now. For a pastor to call a meeting about me. Okay, so I asked her, well, what were they saying? They're basically talking about your relationship and how it's making you no longer come for practices. And I'm like, wait, I had already excused myself from this. I'm a very courteous person. So if I feel like I have a responsibility somewhere, I'll excuse myself properly. And I did that, yeah, out of respect, so that they don't feel like I've just left them just like that, you know. So yeah, I was like, wait, I already explained to them, like, the reasons I'm not coming for practices is because I'm trying to focus on school. And they're like, yeah, they were basically saying you're a black sheep, your boyfriend is making you not come to church. And I was like, why would you call everyone, like all my friends, to your house to tell them this BS? Like, what is it? Like, are you trying to turn everyone against me? Like, what is your problem? Anyway, yeah, so she told me that. And I was so furious that day. I was furious. So I called my mom after. And I was like, mom, this and this is happening in the church. My mom also goes through a lot of things in the church because she's a single mom. So many things, like, they just like put her on the sidelines, which is so terrible. I'm telling you guys, like the church can really be toxic. Anyway, so I called her and I was like, mom, like, this and this is happening. And like, I feel really angry about it. And I was like, and she's like, no, just ignore. I said, I can't ignore because it's affecting me. Like, and what if he does this to somebody else who can't handle it? Like, I'm already not handling it well. So what if there's somebody who really, really can't handle it and something happens to them? And she's like, okay, fine. Maybe you should try and talk to him about it. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to text him right now. She's like, okay. So before I sent the pastor that text, I sent it to my mom. I sent it to my friend, the one who called to tell me what they were talking about. And then she showed her mom. And then I sent it to another lady in the church who was she. Anyway, I sent it to her as well. to approve that I'm not being rude in any way. And let me tell you guys, if my mom approves a message to a person in like we've really grown up being taught about respect and how you should talk to your elders and all that. So if my mom approves of a message like that, she, trust me, that message has no ill intent at all, at all. So my mom was like, yeah, I think the message is fine. My friend's mom and the other lady in the church are like, yeah, this message is not rude at all, send it. So I sent it, and then I didn't even mention there was this other thing that was happening in, it happens in so many towns, and I think it's around Africa, because it's called Afleo. I'm just gonna say Africa Let's Worship. So it's in different towns. So I was one of the worship leaders for now the town where my school was. And we would have practices. Those practices were just, they were intense. Let me say they were intense. I mean, okay, fine. Like, in order to put out a good concert, like, yeah, you have to have intense practices and all. But my problem was the locations of those concerts. Like, they were far. They were always so far. And sometimes we would practice overnight, like the whole night we were practicing. So there's this one time, like, I think I had like a cut the next week on Monday, and the practice was on Sunday. It was on Fridays and Sundays. So Friday, I would go for practice, but I would leave early because on Saturdays I had swimming training in the mornings. And then on Sundays, I wouldn't stay the whole night because, of course, I have class on Monday. And this time I have a cut. So I need to be okay, you know. So this lady was part of the leadership for that that Kesha thing. That, let me call it Kesha thing. Okay, let me just say Afleo in that town. And I remember her being like she was also part of our church. And she was always nice to me and all. But now that the pastor has a problem with me, she has decided she also has a problem with me. She starts adding juice. Yeah, her boyfriend even drops her for the practices. So what? So what? I'm a student. I'm not going to spend all my pocket money traveling to far places for your practices and all that. Her boyfriend drops her and then picks her. Yeah, he picks me because our practices end late. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You're not going to drop me home. So what do you want me to do? Hey? Hey? Yeah, her boyfriend this, her boyfriend that. Do you what? She even leaves practices early because of her boyfriend. And I'm like, I've already explained to you because... Guys, I was like, I've had enough. So I also sent her a message because she was adding Raycom Choosy Mix to the story. Yeah, so I sent both of them. Then see, the next day was Sunday. So we go to church. I went with my boyfriend. And he really didn't want to go that day. He was like, I'm done with that church. I was like, no, let's go. Let's see what's happening. So we went. Guys, when I tell you the whole preaching was about us, I was like, what the heck? And then he was like, yeah, me by there, I have no beef with anyone. You have beef with me, sir. You had a whole meeting, a whole mkutano about me in your house yesterday. Like, stop with the BS. Anyway, I sat through the whole preaching. His wife was crying the whole time. So now this worship leader texts me after church. He's like, you know, the pastor and the wife were so upset with you, with the message you sent them. You even saw the pastor's wife was crying in church all because of you. Like, why would you do something like that? Why don't you respect your elders? I was like, I know you're not trying to make you guys the victim. I know that's not what you're trying to do, because you know what you guys have been doing to me, huh? And sorry, I thought there was somebody coming here. And he He noticed now later on, like after he left that church, I had also left that town. I was in my new university. He texted me apologizing for what they had done to me. Yeah. Anyway, it was too late. Anyway, yeah, so you see, like, how can you text? You even texted that lady about Chuara. I was like, yeah, because you guys are making me feel bad. Like you're stressing me and you're making me look like I'm a bad person. For what? Because I've refused to date you. Like, what the heck? Yeah. Anyway, that was my last time setting foot in that church. And yeah. And you know the crazy thing with this particular pastor, it wasn't something that he was only doing to, like, me. Like, he did it to, like, this thing of making the preaching about somebody in that church and, like, mentioning the person's name and putting out their business out there. He would do it so many times. There's this other pastor, he was now the youth pastor in that church, and he was going through a rough time. Like, there was something happening in his life, and it was very sensitive information. I feel like this is something, like, probably his wife or he had opened up to the pastor about, and the pastor came on the pulpit and made the whole preaching about him, told the whole congregation, all of us, about this man, what problems he's having, and all that. And then he said, in fact, he's no longer a pastor in this church anymore. I was like, why are you so self-righteous? Like, people have problems and they're coming to you. You see, like instead of, like, they're coming to you for hope and they're, I don't know, like, it was just a very toxic situation. I was like, that is so bad of you to do. Like, why are you making his business or their business all of our business, you know? Like, that was so wrong. I felt really bad that day. Anyway, guys, I have so many stories about this church, about how when I stopped seeing this guy, immediately I stopped seeing this this praise and worship guy, and I was in a committed relationship, I was now being accused of being friends with the new pianist. And the pianist, literally, every time I would hang out with that pianist, we were the whole worship team, and it was during practices. So I remember, like, we were having a concert coming up for that church, and I was meant to do a solo. So I was practicing with the pianist and the drummer, and the praise and worship guy was also there because he has to coordinate all practices. Like, yeah, we were summoned, me and the pianist. Oh, you guys, like, if you, like, why you guys you guys talk too much, you guys are interacting with each other so much. I'm like, what the heck? Like, what is your problem? Because I'm not seeing the person you want me to see, I can't talk to other people in this church. Mind you, guys, the pianist and now the pianist, the drummer were very good friends of my boyfriend at the time. So I was like, what the heck is all of this? What is all of this, honestly? Anyway, the pianist left that church. I think the drummer left that church as well because he was just like, these people are pana. Like, they're really trying to control you. And if you don't act according to how they want you to be, guys, they just put you down and make you feel bad about it. Anyway, this is part one because I have a part two. This is already almost 1 hour long. So, yeah, I'll do a part two about now when I returned to my home church and where I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm done now for real. Like, I'm out of the church. This is just too much. Anyway, yeah, so far those are a few reasons why I left the church. I have read about other religions. Not even other religions. I mean, I was interested in Catholicism at some point. Fun fact, my shosho was actually a Catholic before she got married to my grandfather, and then she decided to become Presbyterian. So yeah, I've inquired about it. I've read deeply about Islam. Anyway, yeah, those are the reasons I left the church, guys. Some reasons. I'll do a part two. And yeah, so have a good time whenever you're listening to this. Have a good week. And by the way, if you're a pastor, just know you have a great responsibility, or a religious leader in general, just know you have a great responsibility to lead people. People have entrusted you with that power, or God has entrusted you with that power. So use it to help people and to bring people closer to God. If I've shut on your beliefs, get it shut, like shit shut. Okay. If I've shut on your beliefs, if I've shitted on your beliefs, I'm not sorry, actually, because these are my beliefs and it's my podcast, so I believe I can say what I believe. But you're very welcome to share your beliefs and your thoughts about this episode. Obviously, it's a very sensitive subject, and many people may disagree with me, but yeah. Yeah, so have a good time when you're listening to this. I'll do a part two and give you even more reasons as to what made me be like, nope, I am done. I'm done. So yeah, stay tuned. Don't forget to live out loud, laugh out loud, and love out loud. Bye.